Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim Adaf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bava Kama in the third chapter, looking at Mishnah Zayin, which begins on Daf Lamed Bet Amud Bet at the top of the Amud. Amavakeya Bershut Rabim. If somebody is chopping wood in Rishut Rabim, actually the proper girsa is Amavakeya Bershut Yachid. If he's chopping wood in his own backyard, Rizik Bershut Rabim, and it causes damage, things shoot out and hit somebody in Rishut HaRabim, or Rishut HaRabim, Rizik Rishut HaYachid, he's chopping wood in Rishut HaRabim, and it shoots into somebody else's Rishut HaYachid, or Rishut HaYachid, Rizik Rishut HaYachid Acher, or he goes from his backyard to somebody else's backyard, Chayav, he's liable. Now, Utsricha, why do we need all three cases? Titanu Vakev Rishut HaYachid, Rizik Rishut HaRabim, and from there you could see the proper gears of the Mishnah, that if we started with the first case and said that chopping wood in your own backyard and going out Rishut HaRabim, I would know you're chayev mishum deshchichi rabim, because of course a lot of people walking reshut rabim, you're liable for that. Reshut rabim reshut yachid or shchichi rabim. I would think that if you're chopping wood in reshut rabim, and you've clearly made it careful in such a way that it's not going to hurt other passersby, but it goes into somebody else's backyard and hurts, so you'd say maybe you're not liable because there aren't a lot of people back there. Emalo v'itan reshut rabim reshut yachid. And if you had only the second case, shem nikar shlo reshut rabim, you had no right to chop wood in reshut rabim. Al reshut yachid reshut rabim, but you start in your own backyard. The reshut avid, and this is a constant tension throughout the parak about what happens when you go into an area where you're allowed to be there and allowed to put things there, like Rabbi Yehuda with the Zevel, are you liable for the damages? So I would think that you're not liable. Emalo, right? V'itana hanachtarti. If I had both first clauses of the first two clauses of the Mishnah, so I would say hamishum nishchichu rabim, hamishum nishlo b'shut. Either way, you did something wrong. Either because you aimed it towards, or you allowed it to go towards an area where there are a lot of people, or because you went into an area to chop wood that you didn't have permission. Reshut Yachid, Reshut Yachid Acher, but from your backyard to somebody else's backyard, where neither of those things exist. Lo Shchichi Rabim Ikara Bereshut. You're working in your own area, which is fine, and the place it went to is a place where there aren't a lot of people. Eimalo, Tzricha. Okay, Tanamar, Nechnas Lechanuto Shel Nagar, Shelo Bereshut. If a guy walks into a carpentry shop without permission, V'nitzah Bikat V'tafchal Panav Amet, and the carpenter is working, and he is chopping, and a little piece of wood comes out and hits the guy in the head and on the face and kills him. Patur. Fim nichnas b'shut chayav. That's the brayta. And if the fellow came in with permission, then the carpenter is chayav. That's the statement. Now, my chayav, Rabbi Yosef Chanina chayav b'dal dvarim patur b'galut. He says chayav means, in other words, if the guy came in without permission, then whether he got injured or killed, the carpenter has no liability. But if he came in with permission, he has liability if he's injured for payment of four things. Why four? Not boshet, because boshet needs intent to damage. But he's exempt from galut in case he kills the guy. Why? Lefish ein dom eliyar, because the locus classicus of Rotseach Bishkagah that goes to Galut is the forest. The Torah talks about it. You go into a forest and he's chopping wood and the axe flies off the handle. Right? Now what's the din of a yar? Yar, zelo shuto nichnas, v'zelo shuto nichnas. Everybody walks into their own space. Zelo shut chavero nichnas. This guy walked into the other front, into the carpenter space. And that's why he's not liable. Now Rava turns around, as he did earlier, and counters this reasoning by turning it around. Amarava, Kalvachom Ma Yar, Ziladato Nichnas, Ziladato Nichnas. After all, each person went into the Yar with their own permission. Nasaki Mishnah Nichnas, Ziladat, Havero, Vigola. And nonetheless, the guy who kills the other fellow, we consider it as if he came in based on the other fellow's agreement, as it were, and violated it by killing him, and therefore he has to go into Galut. Zesh, Ziladat, Havero, Nichnas. This guy who came in with the permission of the carpenter, Lo Kol Shekein, certainly the carpenter should go into Galut. Right? So therefore, the disanalogy from the Yar that Rabbi Yosef Chanina supposedly set up, Rava challenges and turns on its head. Ela Amar Rava, my Potter mi Galut. Why did Rabbi Yosef Chanina said exempt from Galut? To Lo Sagi Le B'Galut. Not because he did so little that Galut is not necessary, but because he was so negligent that Galut is not good enough. Now this brings us into a kind of gray area, because normally we think of killing as either being intentional killing on one level, even a crime of passion, but intentional killing, which is rotseach, and that could be chayav mitah, or shogeg, where it was inadvertent. We're not talking about ones, where a person, while they're asleep, is pushed on top of a baby or something like that. That's nothing. But we're talking about shogeg, a person's working out in the forest, and the axe flies off and kills somebody. And so we know that if you did it intentionally, there's the possibility of chiyuv mita, and if you did it unintentionally, there's a galut. Now we find out that there's something in the middle called shogeg karov lemezid, which we might call gross negligence. And in that case, you don't go to galut because galut is not enough to be mechaper, and you fall between the cracks. So now, Meitiv Rava challenges his own explanation of Rav Yosef Chanina. In other words, he explains Rav Yosef Chanina saying that the carpenter doesn't go into galut because it's gross negligence. And now Rava challenges this idea that there's a gray area by saying as follows, if the shliach beitin is giving makot to somebody, adds one extra flog and kills him, he goes to galut. This is a good case of gross negligence. Why? He should have paid attention to the fact that sometimes a person, one more flog will kill him. And he did it with his hands. Uktani raise a golan, the guy goes into galut. So you see there is no gray area. If you cannot be killed for the crime, then you go into galut. Shimon Hardea, the toy minyana. He says, no, you know, the case there with the Mishleach Beitin was with the Mishleach Beitin counted wrong. It was the doctor said he could take 24 lashes, and he counted wrong and gave him 25. So that's why it's really a shogeg. Tofach le Rav Sandale, Rav, I hit him with his shoe. Amarle, atu humani? What kind of answer is that? Since when is the Shleach Beitin doing the counting? Vatanya Goros B'danim Kore, this is a bright and makot. The head of the Beitin calls out, Vahurachum. Vashenim Oner, the second to him, counts how many makot. Vashdashi Omer Haku, and the third guy says, hit him. And then the Shleach Beitin hits him. The Shleach Beitin is not doing any counting. He's just taking orders. Rav Shimon Hardea, what did Rav Shimon Hardea really say? He taught Dayana Gufe that the Dayan might have made an error. In other words, the doctor said 24, and the Dayan's counting 20, 21, 22, and by accident he said 22 again. So by the time they got to 24, they gave him too many. So the Shleach Beitin really was shogeg because he was doing exactly what he was told to do, and nonetheless it killed him. Now, that means that if the Shleach Beitin really would give him a volitional 25th hit and kill him, that might be this category called Shogeg Karov Lemezid. It might not go to Golos. So Meitivei, let's see if that holds up. If a guy throws a rock in a Rishut Rabim and it kills somebody, Hareza Goleh. Now that's a real good Shogeg Karov Lemezid. V'hachad Shogeg Karov Lemezid who? He should have paid attention to the fact that people are walking around Rishut Rabim. So again, we seem to see that there is no gray area. It doesn't mean he threw a rock. It means that a rock came down, he tore his wall down, and a rock bounced off and hit him and he killed him. So he still should have watched. That's still very, very much of a shogeg karov lemezid, because if you're tearing down a wall, you gotta watch where people are and make sure you don't tear it down in such a way that it hurts people. Besota Balaila, he was tearing it down at night. So Balaila Nami Balaila Yoni, he still should have looked. So Besota Kotlo Bayom Lashpa, the answer is that it was Bayom, but he was tearing it down right over a place that people use as a sort of public restroom. So Hayash Bechidami, what's this deal with it? Edish Chichirab, if a lot of people use it. So Mezidu, that's classic Mezid. He's tearing down a wall right in a place where people are going to be sitting. Vilosh Chichirab, and people aren't there, Onusu. Then the fact that somebody happened to come to a place where nobody ever goes, he's Onus. So Papa Lotzricha El Ashpa Suyali Panot Balaila Vena Suyali Panot Payom. It's the kind of place people only use at night. Vika Demikriviati, but once in a while somebody needs it during the day, they use it. So Mezid, and he tore it down during the day. Mezid lohave, you can't call him Mezid, because people don't generally use it during the day. Onus nami lohave, you can't call it Onus, taha ikam mikroviyativ. In other words, there's an element of shogeg here where he really should have paid attention to the fact that sometimes people use it during the day and been more careful. All right, now that is all Rava's first take on Rabbi Yosef Bechanina's comment, or shall we say that's our first version of Rabbi Yosef Chanina's comment on the Braita. The Braita was the fellow walks into the carpenter shop, and Rabbi Yosef Chanina said that when it said Chayav, he meant Chayav b'dal advarim patur migalut. Why is he patur migalut? Our first take was it's so little awareness, and the second take was it's too much awareness for galut. However, we have the following: of Papa Mishmei deRav Matli La Resha. That was the way that we read Rava. Now, Rav Papa said that Rava didn't teach it that way. He said Rav Yosef Hanina's comment was on the Reisha. Hanichnas lachanuto shel nagar shelo bershut v'nitzalo bikar v'stav tafchalo apanav amet patur. We saw Rav Yosef Hanina's comment being on chayav, and chayav is bedal advarim but patur from galus. Here it's Amar Rav Yosef Hanina chayav barbar advarim patur migalut. When are you patur? You're patur if he died from galut. That's if he came in without permission. But if you only injured him, you're still chayav barbar advarim, even if he came in without permission. Our first version that learned this as a comment on the Seifa, that he's exempt from Galut, called Shekena Resha. Certainly, here he'll be Patur, because the guy came in without the carpenter's permission. But whoever has the second version, who learns it on the Resha, a Seifa came in a Bishut Chayav Galut. He'll say, and now we're erasing the gray area, he'll say, yeah, you're exempt from Galut when you walked in without permission of the carpenter, but when you walked in with his permission, then indeed you're chayav galut. Wait a second, me chayav galut. Since when are you chayav galut, even if you came in with permission? Vatanya chaz lachanuto shel lapach. A guy walks into a smith, a forge. Vitzadin tzotzot v'tifcha alo panav amet. And the guy is hitting his hammer on the anvil, and a spark shoots out and hits this guy. Patur v'afidin chaz pershut. The smith is patur, even if he invited the guy in. So I'm asking him, b'shuli d'nafchi. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about the apprentice of the smith. Shuli d'nafchi, the miktalaka, what? He's supposed to die and nobody's going to take it and there's no accountability? The answer is, k'shirabo masari bo latseit v'ne yotze. It's when his master was telling him to leave, it's time to go home, and he didn't leave. Shuli d'nafchi, masari bo latseit, miktalakai. Just because his master told him to leave, he could die and there's no accountability? The answer is, k'sovr yatsa. We're talking about a case where the master thought he had left. So yachi acher nami, then what do you need to tell me it's an apprentice? It could be true about anybody. Acher le mate de rabbe. The answer is if some other guy's there, and the smith tells him, leave please, he knows the other guy doesn't have fear of the smith. He has to really check if he left. Hi id le emte de rabbe, but this is his apprentice. He's afraid of him, because the master is a stern master. And therefore, the master figures, if I tell him to leave, he's afraid of me, he'll leave right away. And therefore, he doesn't check very carefully. And that's why he's patur. That was version 2. Rav Zvid mishmei de Rava mat ilaha. Rav Zvid said that Rava taught this statement of Rav Hanina on the following, not on our Braita. Umatza, which I didn't quote the Pasuk, but that is a word from the Pasuk of Galut. Umatzat reu v'meit. If the axe handle found the fellow, what does this exclude? Somebody who finds his way to the axe, as it were. Meaning that if the axe finds this fellow, so then you go to Galut. As opposed to the axe flying and the fellow sticks his head out and meets the axe head halfway. A guy threw a rock. And a guy sticks his head out and hits him on the head, then patur. And now, yes, you're exempt from Galut, but if he was only injured, you're still chayav barbar advarim. All right, now, we have three different versions about when Rabbi Yosef Hanina said patur, and then made the exception of the split, patur mi Galut, but you're obligated in the four payments. Whoever learned his statement about patur, but you're chayav barbar advarim on this, Kol Shekena Kamaita, certainly we'll say it about our original Braita, because in our original Braita, there is more liability for the carpenter, because here, a guy threw a rock, and then the victim walked into it. Umandamat La Kamaita, but whoever learns it as a statement of liability, in our case, of Abaha Patur Likamra, here they'd have to agree you're totally exempt, you threw a rock, and a guy walked into it. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Paulim Shabau Litvos Charani Balabayit. Interesting Braita. If workers come to claim their wages from Balabait, v'nagchan shorosha Balabait, and they are in the property of the Balabait, and his ox gores them, v'nashchan kalbosha Balabait, or his dog bites them, umeit, and the poel dies, patur, the Balabait is patur. Acherim omrim, reshain polin boascharan Balabait. Acherim, dainu rameir, says that the workers have the rights to come and claim it, which makes it sound as if they're their bershut, and therefore he is liable for their safety and for their death. Now, hechi dami, what's the case? If the balabayit is in the city, in his office, So my time at Achayim. Why do the Achayim say they can go? He can go to the workers can go to the house. And why do they say that the balabite is liable? If the balabite is in the house, my time at Tanakama. Why would the Tanakama say they don't have a right to go there? So tzricha begavet is shchiach v'lo shchiach. It's somebody who's not always in the house. Karya bav amar lahu in. So the workers came to the door, knocked on the door, and he said yes. Mar savar in ul ta mashma. Rameir says that in means come on in, which means they came in bershut. Mar savar in means kumaduch tach mashma. In means stay there, I'm coming to the door. Yes doesn't mean come in. Yes means I'll come in to the door and answer the door. And they walked in anyways. But the question really is whether they came in bershut. So it doesn't really speak to our earlier issue. Now, Tani Kamadamar, in kumaduch tach mashma. We have a braita that supports the read of Chachamim, that in doesn't mean come in, it means, yes, I'll answer the door. D'tanya, po'el sh'nichasti bo'as charam balabayit, m'akchosh sh'rosh balabayit, o nishchol kalbo, patur. Again, a case patur. P'ish'nichas b'rshut. Even though he came in b'rshut. Amai patur. Alav d'karimav, amar lehu in, v'shmam in, kumaduch tach mashma. It must be, b'rshut means that the house owner, his master, said yes. And yes does not mean come in, because if it meant come in, then he'd be liable. Yes means I will answer the door. He thought it meant come in. He walked in, but the fellow is not liable. Okay, the next Mishnah. Shnei shvarin tamin shechavlu zedzeh. Remember, shor tam, half, shor muad pays full. So two shvarim tamim attack each other. What happens? Meshavim v'motar chatzin ezek. You see whichever one was worth more. And the owner of the one that is worth less has to pay half of the difference. Shnehen muadin. This is simple. Mashal mimota nezek shalim. So if a shore that's worth 500 attacks a shore worth 5,000, and they, let's just for arguendo say, they kill each other and the carcasses are worth nothing, then the shore worth 500 has to pay 4,500 to the other one. Echad tam echad muad. Let's mix it up. Muad betam. If the muad attacked the tam, shalim mota nezek shalim. Let's say that the tam is worth now $100 as a carcass. It was worth $500 alive, and the muad is worth a thousand. So the differential is paid in full. Tam b'muad shalim mota chatzin nezek. You flip it, you pay the different half of the differential. Two people hurt each other. In other words, we don't say this guy has to pay full to that guy, and this guy pays full to that guy, and one of them comes out better. You simply see who was damaged more, and the other fellow pays the difference in full. Adam and Muad, Muad Badam, and again, if a person interacts with a Shor Muad, it's the same thing. Adam Batam Batam Badam. What happens if a person and a Shor Tam mix it up? Adam b'tam mishalim mota nezek shalim. But this is the interesting one. Tam ba'adam mishalim mota chatzin nezek. A short time that attacks a person and there's damages on both sides, the owner pays half nezek for the difference. Rabbi Kiva Omer, af tam shechaval ba'adam mishalim mota nezek shalim. He disagrees, and he says that if a short time attacks a person, you have to pay nezek shalim, not chatzin nezek. And that's the one dispute here. Okay, so a short piece of Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, b'chemishvat hazeh ya'aselo. If a Shor Mu'ad attacks, then you have to do this rule, whether he attacks a boy or a girl. K'mishpat Shor b'Shor, kach mishpat Shor b'Adam. What does that mean? That we rule that a Shor attacking a person is ruled just like a Shor attacking a Shor, half or full. Ma Shor b'Shor, tam mishlam chatzinez, mu'ad nezek shalim. Haf Shor b'Adam, tam mishlam chatzinez, mu'ad nezek shalim. Just like if a Shor attacks a Shor, then tam is half, mu'ad is full. So if a shore attacks a person, half and full. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Kamishpat hazeh means ketachton velo ke'elyon. Because remember, that pasuk is coming right after shor muad. So he says that a shore attacking a person is always muad, meaning he always pays nezek shalim. Yachol mishalim in aliyah. So Rabbi Kiva says, but I might think that because he pays full, he has to pay meitav. Tamalomar yaselo. Migufal mishalim, venu mishalim in aliyah. In other words, yes, he pays, like, if he's a short time, he still pays me not, me gufo, but it's nezek shalim. Rabbanan ze lamali, why does it say kemishpat hazeh? Lefotromi arba dvarim, to tell you that if a shor attacks a person, you don't pay the four kinds of payment. Where does he get that from? So we saw this earlier. Nafkalemi ishki ten mumba mito. The makor for a big slice of the four payments is the pasuk at the end of a parshat Amor. If a person hurts another person, right, then he has to pay. And ish bamito velo shor bamito. It's only when a person hurts a person, not a shor. So we see when an animal attacks, and this is that whole series of kal v'chomers we had in the second parak, the potential kal v'chomers that we knocked down, and we said perhaps shor should pay abrad dvarim kal v'chomer if it pays kofar. We knock it down. For Rabbanan, what do the Rabbanan say? Yahi avemenat tsar l'chudei avoripu v'shevet. I would think that because the pasuk ish ki ten mum bamito is the makor for tsar, so I'd say sure. So that ish and not sure knocks out that a shore doesn't pay for tsar, but ripui and shevet, medical bills and lost wages should certainly have to pay. Therefore, kamash polan kamishpat hazeh to tell me that he only pays for damages and not for any of the four things. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and we will pick it up in the next podcast. As we begin to look at the ninth Mishnah in the third parak. Everybody should have a wonderful day.